Hi, I'm Scott Clapson, the community organizer here on KCIW. I am here today with Roger Gilbert, one of the people who helped start the community kitchens here in Brookings. How are you, Roger?
Hi, thank you. I feel fine, and I really appreciate being invited to participate.
Well, thank you so much. I'm excited that we finally have a podcast about this wonderful community kitchen network we have. Roger, do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what called you to do this?
Thank you, Scott. I chose Brookings as my retirement community after spending about 30 years in the Sacramento Valley. And my intent was to turn my life into a vehicle of service. And community service was what I wanted to do. And when I discovered Brookings, I fell in love with it. And I saw potential here to do service. And I was fortunate in that I had a lot of experience as a chef, and I knew how to cook. And I felt that I should use that talent, but I decided that I didn't want to charge any money, that I wanted to use that to feed people and give food away. And Brookings seemed to be a perfect place to do this. And one reason I say that is in my first few years here, I got to talk to a lot of street people and found out that there were people here who were going hungry, and that among them were the vets. And that really touched my heart because I'm a retired vet, and I believe that we should take care of everyone, especially our vets. And so I started the path of trying to find a way to feed the hungry people.
That's wonderful. I really love the fact that it kind of started out with, particularly with street people and veterans, and it's kind of evolved into just really whoever comes to the kitchen, wherever they're located on that day, and everybody gets fed. You know, there's no question about your income. How do you all support that, though, without, like, if it's all free, where does the food come from?
That's a good question. We are blessed, and I would like to share that all our money to support the kitchen comes from the public. We are 100% public supported. We've been blessed by five churches that allow us to use their facility one day a week, and we're also blessed with the Brookings Harbor Rotary Club as a sponsor for the Saturday Kitchen. And basically, the churches help support it, but most of the money is actually donated from the public.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. So they don't happen in just one location. There's multiple locations, right?
Yes. This was a concept that we came up with in the beginning. And we felt that if we put too much burden on one facility, it would be tough on that facility. It would cost more because they're paying for the energy and the wear and tear on one kitchen. Operating 5, 6, or 7 days a week is quite a bit. So we came up with the idea of selecting one location per day for the kitchen, and each day it would be at a different location. And this worked out really well because the churches and organizations that are behind it were able to take ownership, and they knew which day was their day, and then they had their volunteers come in and work. And they had the opportunity of ministering to the public, which is part of a church's mission. Mm-hmm. And yet, they didn't have to bear the financial cost because of our great community. It's our loving community that really has helped out. In fact, I'd like to share a story with you, which is when we opened the first kitchen, which was in June of 2009 at the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And they were good enough to give us a small amount of money to seed the pantry. One day after we'd been open for a while, a person came in. It was a middle-aged lady, and she walked up to the counter, and she wanted to make sure that this was the soup kitchen or the community kitchen, and she said, I've got something for you. And in her hand, she had an oversized envelope that was bulging. It was stuffed full. And she put it on the counter, and she said, this is for you. And she turned around and walked out. And we all looked at each other to see if anyone recognized her. And nobody recognized her. And then we opened the envelope, and it was stuffed with money, mostly small bills. And it amounted to almost $3,000.
Wow.
And because of that incident, we called her the Kitchen Angel. And of course, we shared it with our local newspaper, and they printed a nice article about it. But that's one example of how the public feels so strongly about what we're doing that they're willing to help.
Yeah, absolutely. I attend St. Timothy's Episcopal Church over by Azalea Park, and there's a couple of the kitchen days that happen there. And I know that's happened there as well, where people we don't even know come in and write a check for $1,000 or however much and just say, I love what you all do. I pass through here. It's just really cool that people care so much to be sure that people get food, because it's not just like a bowl of soup or like an entree. It's like a full meal, right? Like,
yes. When we started, we had two things in mind. We had nutrition in mind, and we had good tasting meals in mind. And these are hot meals we're serving. And so we spent time with a dietitian, got some basic plans on how each meal is should be put together. And it's worked out well. And so we are health conscious. We want people to eat healthily. But we also want them to enjoy their visit with us. And so we serve desserts, not ever healthy, but people like desserts. So basically we have four courses. We have soup. We always serve a fresh salad, the hot entree, and then dessert. And that's our basic menu.
Wow, that's wonderful that it's so full and robust, right? Like, it's like you go for a meal and all of a sudden you're hungry, and it's such a great opportunity, because there's a lot of people in our community. They get quite a few people at the community kitchens, and there's a lot of people that need to eat and aren't having their nutritional needs met.
We're seeing that. In fact, we're seeing more each year. Our current pace is we're serving about 1,000 hot meals per month. That's spread out over five kitchens. And we see new faces all the time and new people coming through. So it tells us that they're finding us. It also tells us that there's a need. And another thing that we're proud about is we've had some of our patrons that were the original people to attend were homeless, living in a car, out of work, down and out. And there are many now that I see years later that have shared with me that they got their job through meeting people at the community kitchen, and that the meals that they got while they were down and out really helped pull them through. And these are the nice stories that we want to hear, because there is a need. And even with our senior population, which is our biggest demographics, about 50% of the people who attend are seniors, they're living on a fixed income. And they can pay their household expenses, but maybe they can't buy enough to eat well. And sometimes for older people, it's tough to cook. So we provide a really safe and good place for them to come each day and share a meal.
Absolutely. And it's one of the things that inspires me most about it is the community feeling that's in the room when people are sharing that meal together. As you say, like it's Roger and I have talked before about, it's not a bread line, right, Roger? It's that coming together and sharing a meal together, that oftentimes it's not just about feeding people, but that they might not have a lot of contact throughout the week if they're living on a fixed income or they're working multiple jobs at minimum wage and things like that. So it gives people a chance to actually sit down together and eat and talk and get to know each other.
Exactly. We like to think of it as the Lord's table, where everyone is welcome and no one is judged. And it's a very joyous occasion. The interaction that goes down, the conversation, the joking. We're blessed to have musicians come in and play free music for us. And just the feeling is very up. And we always try to be friendly and loving. And I think that has worked and has grabbed the community, because it's really the community that has embraced us.
Absolutely. When do these lunches happen?
Glad you asked. We serve every day at 12 noon until 1 o'clock. And each day can be at a different location. So we try to put out the information We have information cards that tell where they are. They're available at the Curry Pilot Office. They're available at the public library for newcomers. And for people that have been in town, the word seems to get around.
That's very cool. So 7 days a week from 12 to 1, they can go get fed.
That is correct.
Wow, that's very cool.
Yes, it was a dream 5 years ago, and today it's a reality.
Yeah, it's a wonderful reality. Every time I go, I had an opportunity, I guess it was last Friday, to go to the Lutheran Church. That's one of my favorite locations. And they have, I guess you'd call them serving staff that come around and they actually like offer you a glass of milk and they offer to take your plate for you afterwards. And I had missed that. And it was fun to just go. And I mean, it was simple. It was grilled cheese and it was a soup. And I don't even remember what the salad was because I'm not so much of a salad eater, ironically. But just the being there and just having that opportunity, you know, as someone, I'm low income, right? And having that chance to get served when I'm doing so much serving is really powerful. It's very powerful.
Well, thank you for mentioning that, because service is what we strive to do. And sometimes it only takes a smile. Sometimes it takes a few kind words. Sometimes it's removing someone's dirty plate for them. And this is what makes us different from the traditional Salvation type of soup kitchen. And that's why we changed our name to Community Kitchens, because we welcome the whole community. Everyone has a need at some time or another, whether it's for fellowship or for a good hot meal, and we're there for them.
And there's no strings attached to the meal. It's just, we're just feeding you. There's no, like, you don't have to donate if you don't have the money, right? You don't have to listen to a sermon. You just get to come and eat, and it's really good homemade food.
Yes, thank you. You know, our concept was that we want to welcome everyone. And we do not require anything except appropriate behavior. We will accept people if they're inebriated, if they're under the influence of drugs, not to encourage that, but to help them deal with it. And they need the meal more than anyone, because drugs and alcohol burn up a lot of vitamins, minerals, and things that the body needs. So in the 5 years we've been doing it, we've had very few behavioral problems, but that is our only standard.
That's very cool that it's kind of just as come as you are and no judgment, and everyone's welcome. And you see all different types of people, all different ages, from kids to, you know, the most elder of our community, who, you know, people that I recognize from when I was a kid growing up here. And it's really cool. And I've actually ran into people that I haven't seen in years at the community kitchen. So it's fun to be able to go when I can, when I'm not working, and go participate. What do you get out of it? There must be a reason why you volunteer your time besides just the service. What does it do for Roger?
It does a lot for me. It really fulfills a need that I have to help people and to bring people together. And also, I met my wife at a community kitchen. And
you
I don't
did.
Think anyone can get a more blessed gift than that.
You met your, which community kitchen did you meet her at?
The Brookings Presbyterian Church. They serve on Thursdays.
Oh, really? And you met her there?
Yes, I did.
That's really cool. How long have you all been married?
We're going on our second year now.
Wow, that's very cool. See, so you go get fed and you actually might make a new friend.
You can always make a new friend. And I want to point out that there are usually pastors or a priest available for people who are in need and want to talk. Mm-hmm. But it isn't anything that we require of them.
Yeah.
But we do want people to know that we're there to help, mm-hmm. and help with more than just food. We've been able to help people get eyeglasses, hearing aids, if they needed help to waterproof their RV so they could live in it during the winter. All these kinds of events have happened through meeting at the community kitchen. You know, we've got so much talent in Brookings. It's amazing. And even one of the most down-and-out men that I've met coming through the kitchen, I found out one day he went over to someone's house and fixed their washing machine for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really a give and take, and it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it is a wonderful thing. I'm so privileged that I got to come back to Brookings at the time that I did. And when someone first, I was volunteering at the food bank, actually, when I first got to town 2.5 years ago, and people kept telling me, actually, you need to go to the community kitchens and check those out. And I was like, but I'm volunteering at the food bank during that time. And they're like, no, you need to take a day off from the food bank where you're volunteering and go check out the community kitchen. And I remember meeting you at St. Timothy's and talking to you and to Ron Hedenskog, our mayor, who helps to cook actually on Tuesdays at St. Timothy's. And I was just so impacted by the nature of it. And just the fact that it is such a robust meal and it is such a come as you are, like there's no expectation. It's just being there to serve people and meet their needs. And it all runs on volunteers. That's really incredible.
That's true, Scott. Thank you for bringing these things up. And I'd like to mention there are some side benefits that we found from this project. And one is that it enables people to interact and it enables organizations to interact, like you just brought up, like the food bank with us, because there are times when the food bank has excess food and it needs to be used right away. And the fact that we're cooking it and using it on a daily basis, then we become the recipients of food from you. And then when we bring in things, thanks to the Brookings Harbor Rotary Club, we've made a relationship with the people from Rogue Valley who produce fresh fruit. And we have been able to get trailer loads of fruit coming out of cold storage so they can make room for the new crop. And they drive it over all the way to us and drop it off for our use in Brookings. And then they go on to Gold Beach and drop some off for use there. And then they go to Port Orford and drop some off there. And when we get that, we share that with the food bank. We share that with the men's missions. And we share that with all the community kitchens. So this is a benefit that we find by working together. We can share things together. And it works. Nothing is wasted. We do not waste food. Even in the kitchens, we teach the cooks and the volunteers how to save the scraps, and we put them in the stock pot and make a soup broth of it. What we can't use for that, we put aside, and people that have livestock at home, they take it home and feed their chickens or whatever. And absolutely nothing gets wasted.
That's excellent. So many things to be applauded about this wonderful program and those of you that helped to get this started. It's so incredibly awesome. And yeah, it's very, very humbling to watch because it's so, it's become a model around the state. And that's what's really cool is a lot of people inquire when I meet them and I tell them about this work that we do in our community to feed people. And they're curious about how we keep it going without grant money, without like asking for help from anybody else. It's just Brookings Harbor taking care of its residents and people that might be passing through, just ourselves, just by coming together, as we are so aware in Curry County happens so much.
Yeah, and we see a lot of it this time of year because it's the summer vacation time. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of travelers coming through. And I've talked to travelers that were from Germany, France, South America. It's amazing how many people want to come see our Oregon coast. And they are hungry. And when they see our sign with the happy sandwich waving, they check it out. And that's just another group of people that we're here to serve.
So if someone sees a like a white sandwich board with a little happy sandwich with a smiley face waving, that's how you know you're at a community kitchen, right?
That's one way. The other way is when you smell the aromas in the air, when you smell the onions cooking.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
The bacon cooking.
Yeah, it always smells good. Every single one I've been to, it always smells really amazing. So I'm Scott Clapson, the community organizer here on KCIW. I'm sitting here today with Roger Gilbert from the Community Kitchen Network here in Brookings Harbor. If you enjoy this programming on KCIW, please donate to our community radio. Help us make this antenna a reality. And also, if you're interested in participating with the Community Kitchen Network in some way, they can always take either monetary donations in the form of money, also food. They always need food. And also your time. There's always need for volunteers to help in the kitchens and help, because it's oftentimes people not always from the churches, right, Roger?
There's
people from other places that come in. I know the one at St. Timothy's, a number of the people that work in the kitchen don't actually attend St. Timothy's for church.
That is true. So we welcome everyone. And it's really a treat to be a volunteer. The kitchens that have been well established, I find sometimes they'll fight over whose turn it is to work because they want to work. And it's also a benefit to the community that the volunteers have a place where they can contribute. And that's what makes this work.
Absolutely. Running on volunteers, it's so important in this county, you know, just our gracious giving spirit that we have here in the Brookings Harbor area, and this willingness that people have to give of their time and to serve is really important, because without that, things like this Community Kitchen Network wouldn't be happening.
That's so true. And I've said this earlier in the interview, but I will repeat it, that Brookings is blessed with a lot of seniors who are very capable of doing all kinds of things, and cooking and serving are certainly among them. And they can be a valuable asset to the whole community by just volunteering a few hours a week at one of these kitchens. And if anybody would like to find out more about it, all they need to do is stop at any one of the community kitchens, and they can talk with the kitchen manager, or if they want to talk with me personally, they can get my number from that kitchen manager.
Wonderful. That's really awesome. I know the Saturday kitchen, I know they rotate, so a lot of them have like 1 week, one group will do it, and then the next week, a different group will take it on, right? So it doesn't always have to be an every type of week thing. It could be like a every other week or whatever, if someone felt so inclined.
Exactly. I'm glad you brought that up. So we are flexible as far as working people in. And instead of having the same crew work every week, as you said, we break it up so they don't have to come in every week, and it gives the other volunteers a chance to participate. And since we seem to have a little time, I'd like to mention the three different areas
Sure.
that volunteers could contribute. One is if they come in on the early side before lunch, they can help set up, and they can help with prepping something for the kitchen. Other positions are cooking positions. If you like to cook, we could certainly use more qualified cooks. And then the other positions would be working in the kitchen as a dishwasher, or helping outside by clearing the dirty dishes and being a service person. So they don't have to be just skilled in one thing. It's whatever they want to do. They can work on the floor with the people. They can work in the kitchen, and they're all welcome, and everyone contributes.
That's very cool. So there's multiple ways to get involved.
That's what I want to share with you.
Yeah. That's really cool. It's really exciting that we get to utilize everyone's gifts, because some people really, you know, cooking is their thing, but other people, just that circulating around and just that kindness and that smile and being that person that just lets that person know that you see them, you know, because I think a lot of people struggle with that are facing financial hardships of any kind. Sometimes they don't feel seen and acknowledged. And that fact that you can be at the community kitchen and people acknowledge you and people talk to you, right? So even that is important.
Yes, because we respect everyone's dignity.
Yes.
And we respect everyone's value. And we're there to lift them up. And all you have to do is participate. Just come in someday and join us. And I think that the public will feel this. They'll feel the love that goes around and the acceptance. And this makes us a stronger community. Some of these homeless people were feared in the past and were avoided in the past. And kind of what we call people that slip through the lines and are lost. And we've brought them back, and we want them back, because God has a purpose for all of us, and everyone has something to contribute. And what we try to do is make the stage possible for them to act it out.
That's very cool. That's really awesome. So Roger and I have you know, we've kind of collaborated in the past on different things with this idea of feeding people, including the garden share at St. Timothy's. That's kind of, there's this flag lot next to the church that's kind of blossomed into this beautiful garden now with the purpose of primarily supplying food to the food bank and to the community kitchens. And we're in our second year of the garden share now as well. But beyond just expanding at the grounds of St. Timothy's, Roger and I have gone down to the Del Norte and adjacent tribal lands food council. Actually, I believe it was back in January, I think, wasn't it, Roger?
Was it that far ago?
Yeah, it was a while ago.
That was a great experience.
Wasn't that great? And special thank you to Angela Galore, if she's listening, or anybody from Wild Rivers Community Foundation and Building Healthy Communities down in Del Norte. If you're listening, thank you so much for that great opportunity. Roger, do you want to tell us a little bit about that and kind of what's happening with neighboring communities finding out about this and wanting to adopt the same program?
Thank you. I would like to share some things. As the word gets out about our success, other communities are interested. And so we want them to know, or if the listeners know of any community that would like to have a community kitchen, that we are willing to train them and help them get started. One example of that was the Gold Beach. There was a church there, the First Presbyterian Church, that decided that they wanted to try a kitchen. And they were kind of hanging in on a shoestring themselves. They only had a handful of parishioners and very little money, but they had the right heart. And anyone that has the right heart and is willing to try something can be successful. So we went up there and we trained the staff and we got them set up and got them going with as little as maybe $15 in the kitty. But people donated food, people started coming as volunteers, and that kitchen's been open for over a year now and it's thriving. And not only is the kitchen thriving, but it's helped the church membership.
Really?
Because they had such a small membership, they had less than a dozen people. And because of their exposure with the community kitchen, they have now brought some of the volunteers that came there to cook are now participating in the church. So that's really a win-win situation.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
And kind of other target areas that we're interested in would be Smith River and anywhere in the Crescent City area. So if there's any way that we could be put in touch with a church, or it doesn't have to be a church, it just has to be an organization that has a kitchen that's certifiable by public health. And so sometimes places like VFWs or different fraternal organizations, if they have a kitchen that's available one day a week, we'd be happy to get them started.
That's very cool. So you will go, or someone from our group will go here in Brookings, and they'll go to the community and work with them and talk with them about how to get this started in their own space.
That's correct. And we'll walk them through it. We don't bail out until they feel that they can run it on their own. And so, you know, if it takes 6 months, we'll be there 6 months. If it takes a year, we'll be there a year. But none of them have taken that long. Usually within 4 to 6 months, we can get a kitchen running independently with just their own volunteers.
Oh, wow, that's really cool. So it's not just like a, let's hand you a worksheet and here's some ideas of how to start it. There's actually like mentoring that goes into it and volunteers mentoring other volunteers to get it started.
Yes. In fact, we will train cooks if they show an interest. And we've had that happen in Brookings. And two of the young volunteers that we've had just come into the kitchens have gone on and gotten scholarships to a culinary school in Coos Bay. And so we're proud of that we've been able to stimulate them enough and get them interested enough and give them the basic skills to want to go into cooking as a profession. And so far in 5 years, we have been successful twice.
This ministry is bearing a lot of fruit.
Well, I'd like to think so. And it's only because of the love and the support of the community.
Yeah, it is absolutely because of the love and support of this great community. We're really lucky. I've met quite a few people around the state in these last couple of years and doing this kind of garden organizing and food bank stuff and everything. And I get questions a lot about how do you do it? And 7 days a week, like, where is it at? And how do you support it? And what, how? And, you know, because there's kind of this thing of, oh, Brookings is so far away, you know, so far isolated from everything, and there's nothing to do here. And, you know, you hear all these rumors about the Brookings Harbor area, and then it's just so great to be able to go and share positive stories about stuff like this that are happening, where I know other communities need it, because I've had people talk to me about it that live in other places and want to know how they can have the same type of thing happening.
Well, that's why we'd like to get the word out. And hopefully through this broadcast, maybe some people can talk to people that they know. But it's usually fear that stands in the way. Anytime you start a new project, there's a lot of fear that comes up. And we understand that, but we have overcome all the problems. And that's why our formula is so successful. And we'd like to share this with other communities. It won't cost them any money once they're up and running. The public supports it. We do not depend on the government, and we're proud of that. We're self-sustained. But we found that our needs for food has come at the right time. Our needs for volunteer help has come at the right time. Our needs for a building facility have come at the right time. And so we really believe that we can help another community do the same thing.
So if someone's listening and they're not in Smith River or Crescent City or Gold Beach, if they're, say, I'm just going to say Sisters, Oregon. Hi, Sisters, Oregon. If you're listening in Sisters or Tillamook or, I don't know, wherever, Eugene, would this be something, if someone was to reach out to us and maybe it was like on the phone coaching or over email, that would be something that we could still do?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I would be happy to. The only thing that I would require is that they come here and experience a kitchen on their own.
Okay.
And then if they like what they see, what they hear, what they feel, then we'll find a way to make it happen for them.
That's very cool, because you never know who's listening. We've had people listening from as far away that I know of as Philadelphia or somewhere in Pennsylvania. So, yeah, we have listeners from all over now. That's really cool. I'm really excited about the fact that it's not only volunteer run, because I love volunteers, obviously, but also the fact that there's room for it to grow beyond just Brookings Harbor. And that's what's so exciting, is there's a need for this everywhere, and for this bringing the community together to share meals. And I'm just excited that it's happening and that it's able to expand, and it is expanding in our area, it sounds like. Roger, as we come to the end of the podcast interview, what's next for the community kitchens? Is there like a next step? Is there something coming up that's exciting, or what's going on with that?
Well, we don't know for sure, but we're hopeful that we'll have another organization in Brookings Harbor be willing to step up and help us with Mondays. We're having a little problem with Mondays. We're only open 2 weeks out of the 2 times a month, and we'd like to replace that with an organization that could serve 4 times a month. So we're really hopeful for that. And other than that, we have been so blessed. And I think the main thing is we just like to share our success with others, because we're Americans. There's no reason for anyone in America to go hungry. There's no reason for anyone in our community to go hungry. Now they aren't. We'd like to share that with other people's communities and show them how that can be done.
Absolutely. I'm excited to know you, Roger. I'm excited about the community kitchens. I love the people that volunteer at all the different kitchens. I'm sorry I can't make them like I was able to over a year ago. But it's wonderful. And I would encourage all of our listeners, if you want to find out where they're located, as Roger said, there are info cards around the community. You can find them at the Pilot, the Curry Coastal Pilot, at the library. I believe the food bank has them. I know St. Timothy's has them, because 3 of the Tuesday, Saturday, and Sunday all happen at St. Timothy's Episcopal Church now, next to Azalea Park. I feel very privileged to attend a church that cares so much about feeding people. And I just want to thank you, Roger, for all you do and just all the people that are involved. It's such a privilege to know all of you. And thank you for being willing to come and do this podcast today with me.
You're welcome, Scott. And thank you for this opportunity. I'm very grateful.
Very grateful for you too, Roger. Thank you so much. Thank you all for listening. I am Scott Clapson, the community organizer here on KCIW. If you enjoy these podcasts, please donate to KCIW and help support this wonderful nonprofit community radio station. Also, if you're passionate about what Roger and I have shared with you today about the Community Kitchen Network here in Brookings Harbor, you can donate monetarily, you can donate food, or you can also donate your time. And you can do that by just showing up at whatever location that you feel passionate about. If there's a certain church or a certain volunteer group that you feel passionate about, we welcome you to participate. And thank you to the Brookings Harbor community for making this a reality and keeping it going since 2009. Thank you, Roger. Have a great day, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. If you like this program and want to hear more like it, consider becoming a founding member. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org.